her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth.
A lot of stuff I want to get to in the second hour of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy this morning, but I want to begin with the Max Crosby proposed trade from the 33rd team that does seem almost too good to be true. According to the 33rd team, this proposal means the Packers would trade a 2025 second-round pick and a 2026 third-round pick for Max Crosby. And I got to be honest with you guys. When I first read it, I was like, if that is the proposed trade, you should do it yesterday. Because obviously getting a talent like Max Crosby makes the Packers' defense better. And the pass rush has been an area where they have obviously struggled this season. So to add somebody like that that you know can come right in and make an impact obviously is a no-brainer. The problem is, Chu, and I think this is where you're standing, why in the world would the Raiders agree to that? Max Crosby is 27 years old. Theoretically, you bring Tom Brady in, as he's mentioned, they could still turn this team around to the point where he could be a productive guy on their defense and also put pieces around him where they could be a contender. Like, don't you build around a guy like Max Crosby if you're the Raiders, Chu?
Yeah, because they have an early pick. And what did Jaden Daniels go? Third?
He was two.
Two.
Gabe? He was two? So there's always – and I don't like the quarterback class that's coming out, but, I mean, look what Washington did essentially in 1 year. I mean, when they went from the cellar – or what is it? How do you get to the outhouse? No, what is it? Gabe, work, help.
Is this outhouse, penthouse?
Yeah, there you go. I was going to let him struggle a little bit longer, but
from the outhouse to the penthouse.
We don't have time for that.
Oh, of course we do. Yeah. We've always got time for Chewy to struggle. That
just shows you how quickly you can turn a team around.
But they're not getting a quarterback.
I'm not saying they're not going to get rid of them, but I mean, if it was the Packers, you're getting the 46th pick in the second round and whatever in the third. That just doesn't make sense to me, but, and I don't think it's going to happen.
I will say this, though, Chu. If they do get rid of him, it's going to be because he wants to be out. And that loses a little bit of the leverage for the Raiders.
Well, he hasn't given any indication he wants to be out, and maybe he's doing it behind closed doors, but that stuff tends to leak, doesn't it?
Well, he has been on the record of not wanting to be on a part of a rebuild, very much on the record. Like, he is basically the reason they hired Antonio Pierce to be their coach last year because he was the biggest vocal supporter for him. They went, okay, this is our best player. We want to make him happy. We're going to hire his coach. And this is a complete rebuild, Chu. Like, they're not in a position to get one of those two quarterbacks.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a while for them. I don't think they have a one-year turnaround in them the way that the Commanders did this year, because Jaden Daniels, A, doesn't exist in this draft, and B, even if he did, the Raiders are out of range to take him.
Yeah, but Gabe, you don't think Brady, who's the Prince Charles of the NFL, can sit down and say, hey, look, here's the plan, here we go, I'm going to turn this thing around, we're going to make it good. You don't think Brady has that kind of clout? Of course he does.
He shouldn't.
Of course he does.
Shouldn't.
Why?
And the only way he should have that clout is if he's saying, hey, I'm coming out of retirement to play quarterback for you. Like, he's got no record as an executive. A lot of the times, these guys who are great players that turn into executives are stinky. They're bad.
I'm just saying he could flip this. He could make them want to.
Here's what I need to know, guys. Is there a world where the Raiders don't require a first-round draft pick for Max Crosby? Joshy, you're our draft analyst. Is there a world where the Raiders go, you know what, a second and a third for Max Crosby? That seems fair. Because in my mind, any package deal for a player like that has to involve a first-round pick.
Yeah. I mean, Jason and Craig both kind of hinted towards it. A lot of times, salary cap and how much it's going to affect it with the salary the person is bringing does weigh into this, because we are taking on such a burden from the contract you gave them. Sometimes you have to balance that out, because a lot of times these guys are probably past what they're worth. Max Crosby's probably right in that sweet spot, but you're probably obligated to him past that. So I would think at least one first-round pick has to be a part of it, unless you're going to go multiple seconds, multiple thirds, and kind of get up that way. And it just becomes difficult to move him because, I mean, I don't know. Does he have a no-trade clause? Because that also adds a wrinkle to it. Because if they say, well, we got two first-round picks from the Jacksonville Jaguars, he says, well, good luck. I'm not going there. So, like, all these things matter, and the player empowerment hour has made it easier for these guys to go for less than you would expect.
Because they want to leave, because they want to go
right, and they
else.
Say, you trade me there, I'll Hassan Redick it. It'll cost me money, but I am playing.
Yeah, but there's other teams that want Max Crosby as well. So take Cincinnati, who is a Super Bowl contender, the way they turned it on at the end of the year. Cincinnati's second and third round pick is better than Green Bay's. It's not just like, oh, Green Bay's the only team that wants him.
Chewy, you got to be better than that, man. Come on, man. You know what? Cincinnati's not spending the money on Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, and
no,
Max Crosby.
I know.
Come on, man. You know that.
Well,
you're the one who
Pittsburgh?
Taught me that Cincinnati is cheap.
I mean, what about Pittsburgh? What about the Chargers? They all have better picks.
Yeah, some GMs
than Green
are bad.
Bay. So let's not just... The Chargers? Chargers are going to win the Super Bowl in 3 years. Put that in the bank there, Chachi.
All right.
Put it in the bank.
It's in the bank.
I'll take the field.
We'll see if anything, you know, happens from it.
I'll also take the field.
Yeah. You don't think that they're... You guys are insane. They will be there. Trust me.
Is Kansas City going to fall into a fault in the middle of the earth there? Or what do you think?
Kansas City's going to freeze over for a year. They're not going to be able to play football. Therefore, the Chargers are going to finally come out of that division.
Well, Kelsey's retiring after this year, so.
Yeah, and all kinds of breaking news here this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Chargers are winning. Kelsey's retiring. You got anything else, big guy? Any other news you want to break?
I was almost right with Atlanta. You guys were sweating that to the last game.
No, we weren't.
Yeah, you were. Because if Tampa Bay lost, they make the playoffs, then what I said was very profound.
It wasn't. Somebody had to win that division.
They were favorites and didn't make it. You couldn't have been more wrong.
One game was probably one quarter.
Just to remind the loyal listeners out there, the prediction was, don't sleep on Atlanta.
Correct.
Which couldn't be more vague, by the way. You couldn't be more vague. You didn't say they'll win the division, they'll be a playoff game, they'll make a run, they'll be in the NFC Championship game. You just said, don't sleep on Atlanta.
I mean, in fairness to the big guy, that's the beauty of the prediction. It's very vague. It could mean anything.
Yeah, but it's harder to nail down a right judgment then.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, if he wanted to make the case that because they almost made the playoffs, told you not to sleep on them, they were there at the end,
yeah.
I was right. Yep. He could make that argument.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So here's what I would do. If I'm advising Packers fans, if I were to advise Packers fans about getting their hopes up about Max Crosby and this proposed trade from the 33rd team, I wouldn't. I wouldn't hold your breath. I don't think it's going to be a second pick and a third round pick. I think it's going to take a first round pick. And we have had conversations on this program about how we think that Mark Murphy probably wants, as the draft is coming to Green Bay, to have a first round pick out there as sort of this like crowning moment of his career and whatnot. I don't necessarily think that's going to go into it. I just think it will require a first round pick. And I don't know if Green Bay is going to want to part with it because they need that first round pick to bolster the team in other areas. On the other hand, though, if you use that first-round pick on a defensive end in the draft, a non-proven commodity, a potential commodity versus a I've-seen-what-you've-done Max Crosby commodity, then I'm going to have questions. Then I'm going to have issues. Then we're going to need to have a conversation with Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst et al. In Green Bay.
But again, it all depends upon who is available and if they're available for that price. Like, that's the biggest thing. Like, we can do all these fantasy trades for DK Metcalf and Max Crosby, and we can get Bonds and Griffin. It's not even going to cost us that much. If these guys aren't actually available, like Chewy said, it is a possibility. Brady sits down with Crosby, and Crosby goes, hey, I'm bought in. I think your vision of what this team can be, we can turn this around quicker than I initially thought. Like, that's a possibility. It doesn't seem like Myles Garrett, another guy who's really good on a crappy team, seems like the Browns are more inclined to extend him and keep him around. So the other thing about the trade is you have to find the dance partner, and that dance partner may not exist, kind of like it did when we were looking for receiver help around the trade deadline or a defensive end around the trade deadline. Those guys just didn't exist. That's the tough part.
So the 33rd team came up with this proposal for a second and third, and Sports Illustrated headline is Packers again linked to absurd trade for Raiders Max Crosby. Okay? So there's the other side of the fence, you know. It's just it's poop against the wall. That's all it is. It's the time of year for crap.
Spaghetti
goes up against the wall. Poop hits the fan.
Is that what it is?
Can you imagine spaghetti in the
does
fan?
Does that work?
No.
Hey, Jen, as the resident Italian, does that work?
Yeah, 100%.
What does it mean?
Spaghetti against the wall?
See what sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what?
You're throwing spaghetti against the wall to see what sticks.
When it sticks, it's
no,
done.
No, I'm saying when you throw spaghetti against the wall and it sticks, what does that mean? It's done? The noodles are done?
Yes.
Yes.
Or overcooked?
No, they're done.
It means they're done. You can take them out.
All right.
All right, I'm glad we hammered that home.
I didn't know that.
Strange pivot here. But I mean, it all started with you saying spaghetti. No.
Hey.
Poop against the wall.
In my defense, I don't know everything. I know a lot.
Clip
but
that.
I don't know everything.
Clip that. I'm going to need that for later on. It's going to become my go-to defense. When he says something, I'm going to be like, Joshy, can you pull up that? Instead of the chewing
but
was
admittedly,
right.
But admittedly, you don't know everything.
It's going to be, I don't know everything. That's it. I don't know everything.
How do you know all the weird sayings that you know? And you don't know the basic spaghetti against the wall.
My John the Baptist looking for a holiday might have been one of the greatest analogies ever made. You just have to be deep. You got to be deep. You got to be deep, 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 deep,
I'm
deep
just,
to
I'm
understand
not.
It.
I'm not. I'm trying to learn from you the best I can, big guy. I'm just not quite.
Right.
I'm not as deep a thinker as you are. That's what it comes down to.
And most people aren't, Gabe.
So I shouldn't feel bad?
No.
You know what? I got a good feeling about Rechew this week.
We don't have one. You want it here today?
Yeah!
We don't have enough content.
Are you kidding me? There's always enough content.
There wasn't. I looked. I tried.
Oh, that just ruined the rest of my morning. All right, we'll take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Roll on after this. Whether you're a local who wants to enjoy a night out or you're planning to visit Milwaukee, enjoy an artfully stylish experience at St. Kate the Arts Hotel. It's ideally located in the heart of the theater district in downtown Milwaukee. With deluxe accommodations, culinary creativity, on-site art galleries, and nightly live music, you'll enjoy every element of your stay at St. Kate. Learn more and book your stay at stkatearts.com. That's stkatearts.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So you mentioned Super Bowls and parties and how they don't go hand in hand, which again is an absurd comment by you two, but it's just one of many on the show.
Dumber thing that Chewy has said this morning. Super Bowls and parties don't go hand in hand, or cheddar is not a top 10 cheese.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Just had a conversation about Max Crosby and the likelihood that this proposed trade from the 33rd team, which again, 33rd team, they're a bunch of smart dudes, right? They're football dudes. I just don't think that that's going to be enough to get Max Crosby to Green Bay. But you can find that conversation on Wisconsin On Demand or wherever you get your podcasts. So during the conversation with Craig Karmazin, somebody mentioned Jaden Reed as being a number one. And then we always talk about how Jaden Reed has struggled in man coverage. Gabe, where did that come from? Like, I hear it a lot. Did someone crunch the numbers? Did someone pull film? How do we know that Jaden Reed struggles against man coverage?
If you just take a look at it's an advanced metric, but the yards per route run, his yards per route run is like 2.7, I want to say, off the top of my head, against zone. It drops to 1.7 versus man. Which again, it's just, okay, how productive are you against these, you know, how open are you getting, that sort of thing. That's what that's kind of measuring in terms of yards per route run. So it drops a full yard, which is a pretty significant drop in that advanced statistic.
One of the big questions, too, that we had as the season rolled on, and I'll admit, one for me was, why are we not getting Tucker Kraft more involved in the offense? Why do we not have design plays for Tucker Kraft? Was, what's going on with Jaden Reed? And the numbers bear it out. PackersWire.com has put out a compilation of Jaden Reed's first half numbers versus his second half numbers. Now, I know there's 17 games, so it's not exactly a half. But first nine versus final eight. And Chewy, it's a stark contrast. So in the first half of the season, he had 47 targets. In the second half, he had 28. In the first half of the season, he had 36 catches. In the second half, he had 19. Yards went from 620 to 237. Touchdowns, pretty comparable, 4 to 3. Yards per catch, 17.2 to 12.5. Let me go down to some more significant ones. Contested catches. On contested catches in the first half of the season, Jaden Reed was 8 of 10. In the second half, he was 1 of 3. Now, obviously, that takes targets into account as well. And then you go missed tackles forced. In the first half of the season, 9. He forced 9 missed tackles. In the second half of the season, 0. What happened, Chu? Use that big football, deep thinking brain of yours and explain to me what happened with Jaden Reed in the second half of the season.
Well, what Craig said earlier with Jordan Love, they figured him out. They figured him out. So they say, hey, when this guy's in the slot, let's play man. Let's play a man. And he's clearly, Gabe, the numbers don't lie.
Mm-hmm.
They clearly show he's not as good against man. Now, that's something he can work on, you know. It's something he's going to have to work on because that's how they're going to play him.
What can you do? What can he do, Chu, to kind of work on being better against man-to-man coverage?
You look at guys who are great against man-to-man. I used to do the same thing. In the offseason, I'd be like, need to work on this. Who's really good at it? Let me watch, you know, games of Jay Novacek. And Andy would do that. Andy would say, hey, go back and watch film on this guy. Or this guy. I'd be like, okay, I see. Because as a receiver, when you're playing man-to-man, right, it's all about how you want that guy's hips to turn, right? So if I got a route, a corner route to the right, I want to get that guy in a position where I get his hips to turn to the left. Because as soon as that happens, he's done. He can't recover. The game's so fast. So you work on things like that, you know. And as crazy as it seems, and I learned this, you know, just from watching film of other guys. I mean, this might be too technical, but if I'm running a corner route and I got the guy on his head, in order to get his hips to turn to the right, or to the left, sorry, I initially start my pattern to the right, okay? Say at his right leg. And then when I'm creeping up on him, then I go to his left leg, and he's got to turn his hips because he doesn't know if I'm going to the post, and then you snap it to the right.
Just out of curiosity,
There's things like that he's got to be a student of the game, essentially, is what I'm saying.
In this example, is the DB backpedaling, or is the DB already running alongside? When you're
for me, because I wasn't as fast as receivers, he's in a back pedal. But this was a homegrown thing or Gil Haskell, our receivers. They said, step on his toes. Step on his toes, which means close that gap as fast as you can, because the closer you get to that defender, the more nervous he gets, right? If he can stay in a back pedal, he's comfortable, right?
Without compromising your route, though.
Sure. But when you creep up on him, it's always, he said, step on his toes. Get to his toes as quick as you can, because when he's going to start moving his hips, that's when he becomes uncomfortable, right? And that's how man-to-man works, right? And then you take it to the next step. And, Gabe, we've said this on Catch 22 all the time.
Not the name.
I mean, the show's over for the season, so he can get it wrong, I guess, all he wants.
But how many times did I say, why are they fading away from the quarterback?
At least once a week.
Why are they fading away from the quarterback? You come back to the quarterback, so the only way that defender can make a play is to come through you. I just see, from a year of watching, their attention to detail sucks.
And
it's horrible.
And correct me if I'm wrong here, Chu, but they're going to have to figure out how to beat man, because if you have Josh Jacobs, teams dropping another guy down into the box, that just means you're going to be facing more man-to-man. Mm-hmm. And if you can't beat it, like that's another reason why their play-action passing didn't work as well, because they're going up against these man-to-man situations and the receivers can't win these one-on-ones.
I'm just blown away, and it should get better as the season gets on, your attention to detail, and it just didn't. And it's not just the receivers, it's the tight end as well. Because, Gabe, we looked at that one play, I forget which game it was, but it was towards the end of the year, where Musgrave, you know what it was, Gabe?
Against
it was the
Bears.
Play where they challenged it, and whether it was a catch or not, horrible route. horrible route. No attention to detail. And that's what was so, and that's why we were so good. Because Holmgren, would, and I've said it a million times on the show, once you let the little things slip, then you start letting bigger things slip.
Is it tougher?
Like he would harp on you for the smallest little thing.
Is it tougher to have as much attention to detail as you guys did in today's NFL, given the restrictions in the offseason?
Yeah. I mean, that has a lot to do with it, because the players don't want to practice. And that was their negotiating point going into the CBA, is they wanted to cut practice. So it makes it harder on coaches, you know? But, well, I mean, and, I would just call it sloppy, Jen. It's very sloppy.
Well, and to that point, when you're talking about Jaden Reed specifically, we all saw him leave the game with the shoulder injury. He will spend at least a portion of this offseason rehabbing that injury, which will also put him behind the eight ball a little bit when it comes to the things he would like to focus on this offseason to get better, right? Mm-hmm. Jaden Reed and those guys, famously, they're like back out on the field, at least they were last year, the week after the Packers are eliminated, right? They maybe go and enjoy the palm trees for a week, but then, boom, they're right back. He obviously will have less time this year to focus on those things he wants to get better on as he continues to recover from that injury. It is fascinating, though. I think Gabe makes a really interesting point about the addition of Josh Jacobs and how them being a run-first offense and them also having all of those mouths to feed in the pass catcher's room does sort of affect each individual guy's production. And, you know, they talk about, like I'm with Shaka Smart last night, and he's talking about some of his guys. He was talking about Cam Jones specifically being a rhythm shooter. Some of these receivers, Gabe, are rhythm receivers as well, don't you think?
Maybe, but if you're not a stud, then you're not a star of this team. Josh Jacobs is. Josh Jacobs is the one getting it done. So you've got to figure out a way to adjust your game around the stud. Cam is the star of Marquette. Like, if you're a rhythm shooter, and Cam's been really good at distributing this year, but, you know, if you're not the star, you have to adjust your game around the star. How do I fit in? How can I best take what I can do and make it fit? So that's what they have to focus on a little bit more of this year as well, is how can I take these skills and make it applicable the best we can? I think we saw that with Dontavian Wicks. Hey, we're going to run the football more. All right, in order to get me on the field, I have to be a better blocker. And I know we make fun of that at times, Chewy, but his better blocking got him on the field, and then he was able to get in more of a rhythm. The drops went down in the second half of the season.
Well, here's the problem, though. If your quarterback is a rhythm passer and you're running the ball through Josh Jacobs, you got to figure out, because you just mentioned Cam Jones is the star. Josh Jacobs is the star. You know, conventional wisdom would have Jordan Love being the star. But if Jordan Love needs to get in that rhythm in order to start throwing accurate balls and be able to move the chains, and you're still pushing the offense through Josh Jacobs, that might be some of what caused them problems late in the season.
Maybe, but then he's got to start faster. Because in those big games, I think of the Detroit game specifically, when they were on the road at Detroit, and they, I don't know if it was, hey, we think that they're going to play Josh Jacobs, so we're going to come out, we're going to throw with Jordan Love. He stunk. He was terrible. They went like 3 and out or had 4 plays. They punted on their first 3 possessions, and Jordan Love's numbers were terrible. So if he's a rhythm passer, you got to get in that rhythm early.
Well, a lot of the things I saw, especially later in the season, it doesn't mesh up. It doesn't mesh up. So the quarterback is ready to throw, and the receivers are still in their routes, right? It all has to mesh, and the more and more, the years and years I got under my belt, I learned the clock, because there's a clock in your head. So if I'm getting bumped at the line, right, and I'm held up for a half second or a second, that route is no longer 10 to 12. It's 8 to 10. Because you have to see, it has to all mesh. When that quarterback is ready to throw, you got to be ready to catch. And a lot of the film I saw, and Gabe, you remember, I said, what the hell is LaFleur running 15-yard primary routes when it's 3rd and 7?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing? It doesn't mesh. Jordan's ready to throw, and the guy's got another 2 yards to go into his route. So that's got to be cleaned up. It's got to be cleaned up, and that starts with attention to detail.
We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but first I want to tell you guys about Potawatomi Sportsbook. They are upping their game in a major move for all sports bettors out there. You can use your Potawatomi. Wow. It's like my mouth just goes, Friday, we're done. Potawatomi Rewards Card. You can use your Potawatomi Rewards Card at most self-service kiosks and at the betting counter. Win on your favorite sports, bet on your favorite sports, earn rewards play along the way. Now that is a winning play, unlike this read, which is not winning at all. Bet above the rest, guys. Learn more at paysbig.com/sportsbook.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Muy bueno.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Maybe you'll be surprised to learn that Pro Football Focus gave the Packers a special teams grade of 58.5. I don't know if that works the same way it does like in high school, like a 58 is an F. But it was the lowest in the NFL. Womp, womp, womp. And yet, there it is. And even so, the Dallas Cowboys were interested, potentially, in hiring Rich Bisaccia as their head coach. Why the celebration, Joshy?
Come get him. Take him off our hands.
That's a good thing.
Get him the hell away from me. Costs too much money. The Packers are too cheap.
Why do you care about the money?
Because the Packers got outbid for the defensive line coach from Tampa Bay. And they consistently have issues with hiring the prized assistant because they don't like paying a lot for him. That's why they end up hiring within a lot, and then it gets so bad that they have to go elsewhere and then pay big dollars.
I don't think if they have or don't have Rich Bisaccia, like I don't think that factors in.
I think it will.
It does.
Yeah.
It's two in the bush, Gabe. Not only are you getting rid of a bad coach, it makes Dallas irrelevant. So it's a win-win.
Maybe three in the bush. The Packers' special teams would probably improve.
You're trying to kill a bird with two stones. One in the hand is worth two in the bush. All right,
three in the bush.
let's just go ahead and stop mixing metaphors again this morning.
Chewy, why would the Dallas Cowboys be interested in Rich Bisaccia?
Jerry Jones. He's lost his mind. I mean, look at him. They have not the last Super Bowl they won was 94 and really hasn't. Have they made an NFC championship game since 94?
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. The question should have been, why would Rich Bisaccia be interested in the Dallas Cowboys? To your point, we can look at just this postseason, but he's already making good money. Well, I guess it's
have you seen what head coaching is? Have you seen what head coaches are getting?
Well, actually, yeah.
Like $10 million. $2 million is nice. You know what's better? 12?
I was just going to say that to your point, Shu, they have been a clown show. You know, just look at what they have done this postseason. You don't even have to go back that far. The situation with Mike McCarthy where they had to make a decision on his future and they left him hanging and hanging and hanging and then finally said, okay, I guess we're not interested. Thank you for your service. And then that put them behind the eight ball with hiring other coaches because the window had closed for guys who were in the postseason and all like the other. Like, it's a mess. So I guess on some level, maybe if you're looking for leverage with your current organization, you might want to drum up interest from other organizations. But Gabe, in what world does this feel like a good, a beneficial, a positive for anybody?
Well, I mean, in all honesty, the Raiders should have kept him as their head coach instead of bringing in Josh McDaniels after he took them to the postseason because they haven't been to the postseason since, and they'd been a pretty big chunk of time that they had gone to a postseason since Bisaccia took them there. Well, I understand why there would be a little bit of interest there. Packers probably have no issue with him. Yeah, go ahead. Like you said, go ahead. Go chase that money. And it takes a very specific coach to be the guy in Dallas. Like, I don't think it matters for the Cowboys because I don't think they would have been in on Aaron Glenn or Ben Johnson or any of the other, you know, big named coordinators that are out there.
Yeah, because Jerry doesn't want the focus on them.
Correct.
He did it with Bill Parcells. Where Bill Parcells got all the attention, he didn't. Jerry has to be out in front. Jerry can't self-evaluate, right? It's always the coach's fault. It's always the coach's fault. Why don't you look at yourself as a GM and go, it's been 30 years. Maybe some of it's me.
Chewy,
maybe some of it's me.
You know what's fun, Chew? So yeah. Washington going to the NFC Championship game this year? Now, yeah. Every other NFC team has been to an NFC championship game since the Cowboys last went.
Okay, so but I want to bring it back to the Packers. What is the best thing of Rich Bisaccia's units during his time there? And if you play the cricket sound effect, I'm fine with that. You know, we just mentioned that Pro Football Focus said it was last in the league, the grade that they gave the special teams unit for the Packers. What has Rich Bisaccia done so well Nothing. As special teams
quarter? Oh, kick return units have been good.
Especially,
but Gabe, yeah, but remember the days of starts with Desmond, and then you go to Roll Preston, and then you go
kind
to...
Kind of ends after that.
Huh?
Alan Rossum? I mean, it's been 20 years.
No. Alan Rossum? There was a... Who went to Atlanta that was really good?
To Atlanta?
There were some really good kick returners, and then nothing. And then there was nothing.
Yeah, there's really been nothing there for the better part of 20 years. To me, special teams, I don't really care who the special teams coordinator is, because to me it comes down to, don't get your punts blocked and does your kicker make the field goal? And
yeah, when you
if your kicker making the field goal,
the
your kicker making the field goal, yeah, but how much of that is the Narv dog missing a bunch of field goals early?
Wait, and am I remembering, yes, it was the Bears game earlier this year when they blocked the field goal and everybody gave credit to the special teams.
Yeah, he won them a game this year.
Recognize that there was that they had an opportunity to block it. Something we joked about, how the Bears are watching this unit every single day, and they didn't see that there was a chance that it could get blocked.
Yeah, but
I don't care. It comes down to, is your kicker going to make the field goal or not? And that has very little to do with who your coordinator is.
Is it fair, though, Chu, to say if you're the highest paid coordinator at that position, you should be better than last in the league in the grades from Pro Football Focus?
So you're telling me it's fair to do it to Rashawn Gary. It's fair to do it to Kenny Clark. It's fair to do it to Jair, who are all some of the highest paid, and we hold them accountable when it comes to their play on the field as one of the highest paid players, and we're not supposed to do it to the coaches?
Sure.
This guy's the highest paid special teams coach in the league, and they are dead last.
Yeah, but I don't even know what that means. I guess the problem is I don't know what that means, because I didn't look at the special teams as that big of an issue after they got Brandon McManus in.
So you think if we just took the kicker out of the equation, all of a sudden they're going to bump up the top five?
I have no idea, Chu. I don't know what that ranking means.
Well, then that's the problem, Gabe, because coaches harp on there's three phases of the game.
Yeah, and we all know they're full of it.
No. Our special teams were so good under Swollen Nolan Cromwell. There is a huge psychological difference when you start at the 30 and farther down the field as opposed, and I know the rules have changed.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
But back in the day when we start at the 20, we're like, holy cow, this is a long ways to go, as opposed to the 35, and you're like, here we go.
Yeah, I feel like you're starting at the 30 most of the time on kickoffs anyway. Every once in a while you try to bring one out. Like, it just... Again, special teams to me is don't get your punts blocked and make sure you make your field goals, and that's it in 2025.
Just from a housekeeping standpoint, ladies and gentlemen, apparently these have been informal conversations, because Bisaccia is still under contract with the Green Bay Packers, and the report that Ed Werder has made of WFAA, formerly of ESPN, the Cowboys have not made any request to the Packers regarding an interview with Bisaccia. Tampering with an employee under contract with another club could result in punishment, including a loss of draft picks. So I want to make clear, all of this speculation is quote-unquote informal, which also makes it even more bizarre than it already was.
They're probably just scrambling because they were expecting to have Mike back, and then that blew up in their face, and now he's scrambling to put together a list. And because Bisaccia has had coaching experience, Bisaccia probably made the list. I think it might be that simple.
Well, then people are not going to be as excited, that's for sure. Because again, just to quote the social media reaction I saw yesterday, no, don't go. We'll miss you. Don't know.
Who is out there? Who's out there?
For the Dallas Cowboys?
Yeah.
Oh, you know who the best option is?
Deion.
Who?
Mike McCarthy.
Oh, I believe that ship has sailed. Wait, no.
Has it?
I believe that train has left the building.
Has it? I mean, unless Mike gets the Saints job and he wants to still coach.
There's no way Mike goes back to Dallas,
he
right?
wants to coach. I think there's a possibility that he goes back to Dallas.
What?
I think there's a possibility.
We talk about, like, burning bridges all the time, and, like, you can't cross back over, and we talk
Nobody has said anything publicly bad about each other.
Josh, what do you think? Done?
I think Jen? It's Schottenheimer or Kellen Moore.
Jen, is Saban done? Saban done.
Yes.
Wouldn't you go into Saban and say, hey, $15 million a year? I'll give, you know.
Oh,
did he make
that
more
number's
at Alabama?
Got, I was about to say, that number's got to start with a two for Saban to even start considering coming out of retirement.
Like 20?
Yes. Yeah, not, you know, he's getting more than Rich Bisaccia. Yes. Okay. Like 20 to 25 million. That's what you'd have to pay Nick Saban.
Again, I listened to the whole Pivot podcast. Nick Saban was on with Ryan Clark and his group of guys, and they asked him, you know, they said there's plenty of openings out there in the NFL. Would you be interested in going back? I do believe he said that now if he were to coach, he would prefer the NFL to the state of college football. But he was pretty adamant, guys, that he's done. He likes what he's doing. He enjoys that game day gives him the opportunity to still talk ball, to still meet with players, still meet with coaches, hang out. I don't know, it's pretty cush life.
Sure. But like 25 mil is 25 mil. Mm-hmm. Like if they gave him
a lot of millions.
If they gave him a 5-year, $125 million contract,
he'd have to think about it.
But again, you'd have to deal with Jerry Jones.
Man, yeah.
Right,
Nick Saban.
Yeah, but you go into that.
Who's gonna, which of those two? So let's just put those two in a room together, okay? Yeah. Who's the alpha?
Oh, it's easy. The guy with the money. And that would be Jerry.
I would say Nick Saban.
Yeah, but then
is
Nick
the
goes in. He goes in
God,
after
year. Not with the Cowboys.
If he goes in after year two and says, "Fire me," you got to pay the $125 million.
Those checks are clearing, Bubba.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Have a nice day.
Yeah, I think that's what that was. That again, you'd have to pay him a lot, but I think if there's a number, there's a number that exists. I think that you could get him out. Tune in to the Analysis Show each and every week. It's presented by Gruber Law Offices. Thanasis Adetokounmpo hangs out with special guests for fun and even surprising conversations. Maybe it's his live show with Giannis, chat with Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love, getting the inside scoop on fighting with Logan Paul, or any one of TA's unique guests. Find the Analysis Show on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts. Plus, you can subscribe to Thanalysis Show on YouTube to see exclusive video content from Thanasis. Thanalysis Show, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jay Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting.
Poor lady.
The Broncos Burma? The
that
last
was gibberish.
2 weeks. You guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, we started the show talking about Buc-ee's, how Buc-ee's is coming to Oak Creek, will be in Wisconsin. It is the thing that I am... Hello? Who was that?
That was Homer.
Oh, Homer.
He's going to be the cousin sub of the day on Wielding a Touch today.
I saw the door open. I thought, oh, someone's coming to visit us. Apparently not. He backed out. So Homer will be on Wielding a Touch this morning in place of Mark Tauscher. I'm not sure there's something I have been this excited about in a while. And Gabe, you remind me, though, it's going to be a bit.
Okay, so that I want to ask this question because the release says early 2027.
Oh.
What happens first? The Packers win a Super Bowl or Buc-ee's opens?
Well, they would have to win next year, right? Or I guess they could win the following year.
They could win the following year, I guess, because early 2027, that could mean before
January?
The Super Bowl. Could mean early March after the Super Bowl. Who knows? So that's kind of
the
gamble.
So you're saying the Packers essentially have 2 years
yes.
to win the Super Bowl before Buc-ee's opens. This is tricky because I want to be the optimistic gal on
sure.
the show. I want to be the one that says, they can do it,
let's start with hold on. Start with next year. Will they win the Super Bowl next year? Panel?
I got to see what they do in the offseason first.
No. That's you asked the question. Answer my question.
No, you answer my question first.
What's your question?
Well, that's the problem.
What happens first? Buc-ee's opens in Oak Creek or the Packers win a Super Bowl?
I can't answer that this time.
Why can't you answer?
We're pleading the fifth, Your Honor.
Now you're pleading the fifth counsel. After I pled the fifth on your question.
Fifth off.
Joshy, what do you think? I trust your judgment.
I'm going to be the optimist and say, yes, they do. Obviously, it is negative odds. I would be plus, you know, probably a 1,000 or plus if I were to place that bet at Pato. But I believe Brian Gutekunst knows the urgency, senses the urgency, and I expect Jordan Love to keep improving from what.
Which year? Which
I would
year?
I would pick the second year.
Okay.
So 2026.
With the best odds. Like this year, still there's still a lot of young players. There's still a lot of growth to happen there.
So Brian Gutekunst understands the urgency. Does Brian Gutekunst go out and get one of these big time players to bolster either side of the ball?
I think so. I don't know who it's going to be, and we're going to have to probably figure out what big means to Goody and the Packers or big means to us. Do I think it's necessarily Max Crosby or T. Higgins? I'd go no. But do I think it'll be a player of note?
Question.
Yes.
Has he ever traded for anybody?
Well, I mean, he traded for Malik Willis.
I mean, a relevant player.
He became
He traded
relevant.
Rasul Douglas away, Preston Smith away.
Yeah, but he hasn't ever traded for someone.
I'm saying trade for someone.
Malik Willis, all I got.
I think Malik might be the highest one on the list.
And again, it will be tough to top what he did last season with Xavier McKinney and Josh Jacobs. Like, getting them in the offseason, and I know those weren't trades, but like, wait, hold on. They were trades?
No,
yes.
We're
no,
not.
Free agents. Both free agents. Thank you. Woo! I know those weren't. Hey, I should have trusted my gut. I know those weren't trades, but it'll be tough for him to top that offseason and how productive those guys were.
And that's part of it, because I don't even know if there's free agents of that ilk. I mean, especially you take a look at some of the free agent impacts, whether it was Derrick Henry, obviously Saquon Barkley's playing this weekend. I don't know if that's this free agent class. So you may have to get creative and pull a trigger on a trade for the first time, too.
Hey, the good news is it's Friday. That's all I got. And Buc-ee's is coming to Oak Creek in 2027.
Right. 2 years. Start the countdown.
Ride that all the way into the weekend. Wildy and Tausch with Homer hanging out with Wildy right after this on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.